In last night's State of the Union, the president appealed for bipartisanship, but we just heard Deepa and Susan talk about a contentious moment. The president accused Republicans of wanting to sunset the Medicare and Social Security programs, and he slammed them for being slow, in his view, to raise the debt limit. Joining us now for his response is Republican Congressman Dusty Johnson. He's the sole representative of South Dakota. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let me ask you about Medicare and Social Security last night. What do you make of, number one, the president being elastic with reality, but also the response from your side of the aisle?
I was pretty disappointed with the president. We know that Social Security is insolvent in 2028, and we know the Medicare is insolvent in 2034. We need real leadership. And I was hopeful that the president was going to step forward and talk about the need for us to work together to protect these programs. And instead, he drove a wedge. I mean, I loved it when he was talking about working together to beat cancer, on Ukraine, on American supply chains. But gosh darn it, I just thought he tried to define the whole by the opinions of a very few. That was a deliberate attempt to mislead, and I thought it was unworthy of a State of the Union address.
And the response in the chamber?
Well, I understood the kind of visceral reaction that many Republicans had, kind of the audible gasp or exclamation. I have some grace for that. I can't defend, I think, the more outspoken screams from the chamber. We need to have some decorum in the chamber, even when we strenuously disagree.
And let me ask you about these programs. You have described the fiscal challenges of these programs as more and more people enter the age where they're eligible for these. The reality, as far as cutting the federal debt, is those programs are where the real money is. So where are you on specifics to make changes to Medicare, Social Security, put them on more long-term financial footing?
You're framing the question in the exact right way. How do we put these programs on long-term, stronger footing? There are a number of things we can do. Back in 1983, in a strongly bipartisan move, Democratic Speaker Tip O'Neill and Republican President Ronald Reagan stepped forward and over the course of decades, increase the retirement age for the purposes of Social Security from 65 to 67. And that is the kind of thing that we could do long-term, not to touch benefits for anyone who is receiving them today or who is going to receive them in the next 2 years, but for people my age, 46 years old or younger. I will probably live 20 years longer than my grandparents. I'm not offended at the idea that I might need to work 18 months more to secure an additional 18 years of retirement. But it makes it hard to have those kinds of real conversations about demographics and actuarial tables if any attempt to do so is met with hyper-partisan insults by the President of the United States.
What is the political legislative reality, as you see it, for raising these eligibility ages?
The political reality is that it is more difficult today to talk about saving these programs for future generations than it was yesterday. Joe Biden's statements did not help us have a serious conversation in a bipartisan way about how to save these programs. My colleagues on both sides of the aisle know that these programs are a foundation of American greatness, that we need to protect Social Security and Medicare. We know that doing nothing drives these programs into insolvency. I wish there had been more of a statement of bipartisan values from the president last night regarding those programs.
The president also called on Congress last night to approve lifting the debt ceiling. Congressman, you remember the last time this was a big issue when Congress, Standard & Poor's, lowered its credit rating for the U.S. It is still at that lower credit rating. Is this political issue going to take us to the brink again?
We are not going to default on the debt. It would be irresponsible to do so. What we need to do is what we have done 8 times in the relatively recent past, and that is negotiate some budgetary control mechanisms as a part of debt ceiling negotiations so we can put our country on a more firm financial footing, and we should do so on a bipartisan basis.
And finally, Congressman, I want to ask you briefly about the Republican response to the State of the Union address. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders framed what's happening in this country as normal or crazy. That is the president's side of the aisle as the crazy. Is that helpful?
I, after hearing, and I did not watch Huckabee Sanders' speech last night, but I did hear the president's, and there has been political rhetoric. I think it's been reported that both of them really stepped outside of language that might be used in a ceremonial and constitutional duty for the president to deliver a State of the Union. It has caused me to wonder, why are we doing this anymore at all? Some of the rhetorical tactics that were used last night in the House chamber seemed more akin to what we would expect in a primetime political debate or a knockdown, drag-out political attack ad. And it makes me wonder if we should return to the time when presidents delivered the State of the Union via written report as opposed to some kind of a political speech, because if we're not going to use that opportunity to come together as a country to talk about our shared challenges and our shared values, if it will just be one more wedge that can be used by politicians to try to sort us into different tribes, is it worth the primetime television slot? I'm beginning to doubt that it is.
Congressman Dusty Johnson, Republican of South Dakota. Thank you, sir, for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.